from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. Indonesia's financial system still stable on the second quarter of 2018. Morocco pleads for the election of Indonesia as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pani. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati stated that Indonesia's financial stability system in the second quarter of 2018 remains maintained despite the increase in global economic pressure. In her press statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, Sri Mulyani, who is also chairwoman of the Financial System Stability Committee, KSSK, said that the stability was shown from the maintained inflation rate, adequate liquidity, maintained foreign exchange reserves, controlled deficit rate, surplus on the state budget revenue and expenditure country, as well as improving banking performance.
KSSK, Komite Stabilitas Sistem Keuangan, menyimpulkan bahwa stabilitas sistem keuangan triwulan 2.
The committee concludes that financial system stability in the second quarter of 2018 is maintained amid the rising of global pressure. The committee believes that the fundamentals and stability of the economy and financial system are still maintained, reflected by maintained inflation, liquidity, adequate financial system, adequate foreign exchange reserve, controlled state budget deficit rate, primary balance surplus from state budget up to first semester, and improved banking performance. As reflected by the increase of credit growth with controlled level of credit risk and capital, and a strong banking liquidity.
Serta kinerja perbankan yang membaik.
However, according to Sri Mulyani, the committee will still be wary of global economic turmoil due to policies taken by the United States and the United States trade war with its trading partners. Especially against the weakening of the rupiah exchange rate, the committee's staff has observed the pressure on the exchange rate and government securities, especially from the continued expectations of the Fed fund rate increase and the sentiment of the trade war between the U.S. government and its major trading partners. In addition, the Financial System Stability Committee will also wary of the impact of electoral contests in 2019 on the stability of the financial system. Sri Mulyani hopes there is no excessive turmoil that will disrupt the stability of the national financial system. Indonesian Minister of Industry said on Tuesday that the government is formulating a number of strategies, including implementing a regulation immediately on the use of a 20% biodiesel mix, or B20, to save foreign exchange earnings. According to him, the government has adopted several programs to save foreign exchange earnings. The meeting led by President Joko Widodo discussed several strategies to strengthen the country's foreign exchange earnings. Erlangga added that the programs which have been implemented are considered capable of reducing the balance of payment. Their programs include encouraging the use of B20, increasing the use of local components, and optimizing tourism services. He said that the other similar program to save foreign exchange earnings includes reviewing the list of imported goods. The government believes the programs will be able to save billions of US dollars in foreign exchange earnings. Hartarto predicted that the government will be able to save $2 billion US in foreign exchange earnings by increasing the use of local components. Moroccan Ambassador to Indonesia Audia Benadella admitted he is happy with Indonesia's election as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, UNSC. Indonesia was elected as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council for the period of 2019 to 2020, representing the Asia-Pacific region ahead of the Maldives in the vote in the UN General Assembly some time ago. Speaking at the 19th anniversary of King Muhammad VI's enthronement day in Jakarta on Monday, Ambassador Benadella said, "Many similarities are shared by Indonesia and Morocco. This includes the things that Morocco is fighting for in the international world, which is also fought for by Indonesia. One of them is about the struggle of the Palestinian people."
Today, all in here, congratulations for the election of the Republic of Indonesia as a non-permanent member of the Security Council. This success, we consider it in Morocco, our success also. It's our success because we share with this country and during decades the same hope, the same future, the same perspectives, the same human causes as such Palestinian cause. We both look at the brighter side of the future and we both are ready to strengthen our ties and to let them stronger. Morocco and Indonesia.
Ambassador Benadella added that Morocco and Indonesia are like two distant relatives. He said the two countries have a long relationship which started from before Indonesia's independence. He also revealed that Morocco and Indonesia share more than one relationship. The two countries have historical relationships, religious and political relationships, diversity, human values, and various other relationships. Chairman of the Association of Indonesian Economic Bachelor, ASEI, Bambang Brojonegoro, met Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta on Monday. Bambang, who is also Minister of National Development Planning, head of National Development Planning Agency, said the 20th ASEI Congress is scheduled to be held in Bandung, West Java from August 8 to 10. All the Association officials hopes Vice President Yusuf Kalla can attend the opening of the Congress on August 8 to give direction related to the condition of Indonesia's economic development. The theme of the Congress is to strengthen the harmonization between the formal and informal sector. So we expect the Vice President and of course our members of the Association of Indonesian Economics Bachelor want to hear directly the directives from the Vice President related to the economic development of Indonesia. Our theme in the 20th ASEI Congress is strengthening harmonization between formal and informal sector. Furthermore, Bambang explained that the 20th Congress of the Association of Indonesian Economic Bachelor specifically pays attention to the formal sector that has dominated the Indonesian economy. With this Congress, Bambang also hopes that the drivers of economic activities, especially in the informal sector, can gradually increase, improve and strengthen the economy in the formal sector. According to Bambang, the association wants to emphasize on improving the productivity of the existing informal sector. The improvements are from how to produce to the skills of the labor involved. It is expected that the improvement of the products produced by the informal sector can be more competitive, so in the future it can reduce imports. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, has encouraged the development of the electric car industry in the integrated economic area of Bekasi, Karawang, Purwakarta in West Java. He noted at a seminar and exhibition of electric cars on Tuesday that the area is strategically located close to Patimban Port and Kertajati Airport. The minister noted that the government will provide fiscal and non-fiscal incentives to investors, and Indonesia will benefit from the product's added value. He said that the government had continued to encourage the development of the nation's electric cars in line with its commitment to support clean energy as an implementation of the 2015 Conference of Parties 21 on Climate Change in Paris. Panel of judges at South Jakarta District Court decided to ban Jamaah Ansaruddaulah JAD on Tuesday, and JAD led by its leader Jainal Ansori aka Abu Fahri aka Komarudin bin M. Ali was stated as forbidden organization after it was sentenced as Corporation of Terrorist Network. JAD also was sentenced a fine ₹5 million and stated as forbidden corporation that affiliated with ISIS group. Presiding Judge Aris Bawono asserted JAD legally convinced to violate Article 17, Paragraph 1, and Paragraph 2, Junto Article 6, Government Regulation, in lieu of Law Number 1/2002 on Eradication of Terrorism, as already stipulated in Law Number 15/2003. Meanwhile, JAD lawyer Asluddin Hajani said his party will not file an appeal. He has coordinated with General Ansori to accept the verdict. Public prosecutor Harry German, who charged JAD as Corporation of Terrorist Networks, said he will learn the whole decision from judges. He admitted that panel judges' entire decision was in accordance with his demands. Jamaah Ansaruddaulah was known as an extremist network responsible for a series of deadly terror attacks, including Tamrin bombing in 2016, Samarinda, East Kalimantan church bombing in 2016, Kampung Melayu in Jakarta bombing in 2017, a wave of suicide bombings in Surabaya East Java in May 2018, and terror attack to Indramayu police station in West Java in June 2018. The Ministry of Tourism has set a target to receive 170,000 foreign tourists visiting Indonesia during the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang. Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya believed it was a reasonable figure. Speaking while visiting the Gunung Kidul sub-district in the Yogyakarta Special Region, Minister Arif Yahya said that the ministry assumed that there would roughly be 10,000 participants in the Asian Games. He said that there will be an additional 5,000 officials. During the 2014 Asian Games in South Korea, there were 7,000. The total number of foreign tourists coming from South Korea had reached 200,000, and the ministry is only targeting 170,000. In order to achieve the target, the ministry have prepared several measures, including the Indonesian Discount Shopping Day falling on August 8, held to welcome the Asian Games. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with commentary for today entitled Cambodian Election Result and the Future. Cambodian people have followed the sixth election in the country last Sunday. The quick count result that 82% of the Cambodian people, numbering around 7 million people, have participated in this year's election. People's participation increased from the previous election, which only reached 62%. On the quick count result, the Cambodian People's Party is almost certain to return to power by seizing control of all parliamentary seats, amounting to no less than 100 seats. Thus, the election result will extend the power of the ruling party for 33 years. The electoral winner party is the Cambodian People's Party
CPP, formed by Prime Minister Hun Sen, who is now 65 years old. The victory of the Cambodian People's Party is not surprising, because the main opposition, the National Rescue Party, CNRP, has disbanded a year before the general elections are held. Thus, the government of Prime Minister Samdek Khan only had to deal with small parties numbering around 20. A CPP spokesperson responded to the quick count result that his party had at least 80% of the seats in parliament, which amounted to 125 seats. On the other hand, the Cambodian National Salvation Party declares the election has been full of fraud and that his party will not recognize the result of this election. However, such protests may not have any effect on the election results to be determined by the Cambodian National Election Commission. The commission, after the closing of the ballot box, stated that the 2018 election was successful. As a matter of fact, Cambodia will again be led by Hun Sen, who came to power in 1985 when the country was still in civil war. As quoted by the media, Hun Sen responded to the election results by stating that the people of Cambodia have chosen to take the path of democracy and use their rights as citizens. The people of Cambodia certainly hope that in the next 5 years, they will enjoy various advances in life. Will that hope come true? And will Cambodia also play a better role in the Asian scene? Only time will tell. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on August 1st, the World War I began. On August 1st, 1914, the World War I began after Germany declared a war on Russia. 3 days prior to the beginning of the war, Austria also declared a war on Serbia due to the assassination of the Archduke of Austria in Sarajevo. After Germany fought a war on Russia, another war broke out between Germany and France, and the war quickly expanded. In the war, Germany was supported by the Axis powers comprising countries such as Austria, Hungary, and the Ottoman Empire. Meanwhile, France, England, Serbia, and the United Kingdom established an opposite pole known as the Allied powers. The preparation of the war has actually taken place for a long time. Years ago, before the war commenced, major countries in Europe have actually been involved in an intense weapon competition and struggle of enlarging their invasion in other countries. Furthermore, those major countries also developed stronger nationalism ideology in Europe. In the beginning, Germany and the Axis powers actually almost achieved their victory of the war. However, the United States' participation in the Allied powers has made the Allies grow stronger. Consequently, the Allies won the war. The World War I officially ended on November 11, 1918. In the aftermath of the war, 9 million people were reportedly dead, 29 million people got deformed, and 5 million people were lost. Thank you. We continue to the next event, which occurred on August 1, 1946, about the establishment of the United States Atomic Energy Commission to supervise the development of atomic bomb. The United States Atomic Energy Commission was a government institution established after the World War II by the Congress to support and supervise the peaceful development of technology and science related to atom. The United States President Harry Truman signed the McMahon Atomic Energy Act on August 1, 1946. The act regulated how the United States controlled and supervised the nuclear technology, as well as established the United States Atomic Energy Commission to support the supervision of the nuclear technology. We end our segment of Today in History with an event about Vigdis Finnbogadottir that was selected as the world's first female president through a general election on August 1, 1980. Vigdis Finnbogadottir was selected as the president of Iceland on the 1st of August 1980, making her the first female president in Iceland and the first female leader in Europe. Within a period of 16 years authority, she became the world's longest-serving leader. Vigdis Finnbogadottir won the first election, defeating three other male candidates. Her programs focused on education and culture. She continued serving as the president of Iceland in the next three periods. She was directly appointed as the president of Iceland without opponents in 1984 and 1992. Meanwhile, she won 92% of the votes in the 1988 general election. That was Today in History.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Dear listener, welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we will bring a topic about Banyuwangi proves that tourism is effective to motivate economy. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan attended tourism attraction of Banyuwangi Ethno Carnival in Banyuwangi on Sunday, July 29. Thousands of tourists and local people also attended the ethnic carnival, which has been held for 8 years consecutively. The carnival is consistent in carrying the theme of local culture. On the occasion, Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, on his written statement, said that the government of Banyuwangi had proven that the rise of tourism was so effective to create jobs and to motivate the economy more quickly. Minister Luhut evaluated that it is a good step for Banyuwangi in improving the tourism sector, which is currently became the largest contributor to the state revenue after energy sector, and it is predicted to be the country's largest sources of revenue shortly. He also added that the central government also continued to accelerate the tourism infrastructure development in Banyuwangi Regency. The region has been set as the support of IMF and World Bank annual meeting next October, which will be attended by 17,000 delegations from around the world. Some of the delegations will land in Banyuwangi Airport and will travel to the Sunrise of Java region. For the preparation, the central government spends 50 billion rupiah to renovate infrastructures around Alas Purwo National Park. The park has exotic prairie and Plengkung Beach with the best wave in the world for serving. Furthermore, there is also infrastructure improvement to the area of Ijen Crater, which is famous with the natural phenomena of blue fire, which is famous worldwide. Regent of Banyuwangi Abdullah Azwar Anas appreciated the central government's support for Banyuwangi, thanks to the support of the central government, province, and collaboration with the people. Banyuwangi kept growing in the last few years, and its tourism sector became one of the supporters of the growth. The region also said the poverty rate in Banyuwangi decreased sharply in the last 7 years to the level of 8.6% from the previous year. Income per capita of the people increases 120% in 2017 compared to the position in 2011. He said that the most challenging duty ahead is to push economic equity to the villages, such as through Smart Village Program. That was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief from Dalat Pani. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati stated that Indonesia's financial stability system in the second quarter of 2018 remains maintained despite the increase in global economic pressure. Indonesian Minister of Industry said on Thursday that the government is formulating a number of strategies, including implementing a regulation immediately on the use of a 20% biodiesel mix to save foreign exchange earnings. Moroccan Ambassador to Indonesia, Wadia Ben Abdella, admitted he is happy with Indonesia's election as a non-permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, UNSC. Chairman of the Association of Indonesian Economic Bachelor, ISEI, Bambang Brojonegoro, met Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kala in Jakarta on Monday. Bambang, who is also Minister of National Development Planning, head of National Development Planning Agency, said the 20th ISEI Congress is scheduled to be held in Bandung, West Java from August 8 to 10. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has encouraged the development of electric car industry in the integrated economic area of Bekasi, Karawang, Purwakarta in West Java. He noted at a seminar and exhibition of electric cars on Tuesday that the area is strategically located close to Patimban Port and Kertajati Airport. Panel of judges at South Jakarta District Court decided to ban Jamaah Ansharut Daulah, JAD, on Tuesday. JAD, led by its leader Jainal Ansori Aka Abu Fahri Aka Komarudin bin M. Ali, was stated as forbidden organization after it was sentenced as Corporation of Terrorist Network. The Ministry of Tourism has set a target to receive 170,000 foreign tourists visiting Indonesia during the 2018 Asian Games in Jakarta and Palembang. Minister of Tourism Arif Yahya believed it was a reasonable figure. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Bukalah matamu, kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu.
Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema. Maknai kekalahan sebagai kemenangan yang tertunda. Jangan pernah berputus asa, jadi yang terbaik.
Time. yang bisa.
To various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to a tourism destination from Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listeners, West Nusa Tenggara, especially Lombok, has many tourism objects which are worthy being visited. Take for example, in North Lombok Regency, there is a beach which is about to eliminate fatigue after running daily activities. The beach is called Sire Beach. Listeners, Sire Beach has amazing nature with its coastal line of tourism destination as long as 3.8 kilometers. Sire Beach has clear and transparent water. Because of its clear water from surface of the sea, you can see small fish. Besides, its water is quite calm so that tourists can do marine activities, unlike other beaches which have special white sand. At Sirea Beach, its sand is not quite white, but it has smooth texture. Around the beach, it is surrounded by coconut trees, which are in the neat row. Listeners, in addition to enjoying the beauty of its clear water, tourists who make visits here can also enjoy another activity. One of them is fishing. Here, they can also spend the time by playing beach volleyball. Listeners, Sirea Beach is located at Medana Hamlet, North Lombok. The distance is around 35 kilometers from Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara. The trip takes around 1 hour from Mataram by land transportation. If you want to go to this tourism object, we suggest you to use rental car because public transportation which passes Sirea Beach is still infrequent. The facility at the beach is inadequate. Thus, if you visit the beach, it is better for you to bring enough money because it is difficult to find ATM. Besides, please do not forget to bring your own swimming equipment because there is no rental facility. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Sirea Beach. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listener, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is jam kerja, or in English, working hours. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about jam kerja, or in English, working hours. The conversation at Joko's house. Tony and Enda are talking about job.
Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?
Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore.
Kalau istirahat, jam berapa?
Istirahatnya jam 12 sampai jam 1.
Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya?
Iya.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today, jam kerja, or in English, working hours. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa? Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa? In English, at what time the working hours begin here? Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore. Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore. In English, it usually begin at 7.30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Istirahat jam berapa? Istirahat jam berapa? In English, at what time to break?
istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1. Istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1. The break from 12 to 13 p.m. Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya. Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya. In English, so, 1 hour break, right? In the dialogue you've just listened, there was a sentence. Di sini, biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa? The word biasanya shows intensity or frequency. Next is an adjective that shows intensity or frequency. Selalu or always. Biasanya or usually. Sering or often. Kadang-kadang or sometimes. And tidak pernah or never. Please attention to the use of adjective in the sentences. Saya selalu berangkat kerja pukul 7. Mereka biasanya pulang kerja jam 4 sore. Aku sering pergi ke sekolah jam 7. Dia kadang-kadang pulang jam 10 malam. Tony jarang datang terlambat. Actually, there are still any other adjective in the Indonesian grammar. But the words selalu, biasanya, sering, kadang-kadang, and tidak pernah are often used in a daily conversation. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's follow again the conversation.
Di sini biasanya mulai kerja jam berapa?
Rata-rata mulai jam 7.30 dan selesai jam 4 sore.
Kalau istirahat, jam berapa?
Istirahatnya jam 12 sampai jam 1.
Oh, jadi istirahat 1 jam ya?
Iya.
After listen the conversation about jam kerja in English, working hours, we'll give you an exercise which of course related to the words that you have learned before. For example, nama saya Andi. Saya seorang wartawan bekerja di surat kabar Sinar Pagi. Waktu bekerja saya hari Senin sampai Jumat, dari jam 8 pagi sampai jam 4 sore. Dan istirahat jam 12 sampai jam 1 siang. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we'll present some beautiful songs from the overtunes. Let's listen to the first song entitled Cinta Adalah. The lyric of the song describes various definitions of love. Love never fails. It will be perfect as a gift. Love understands the meaning of yielding and it can make us to cry and try to be mature. However, we can get all the definition of love if we would like to appreciate it and willing to sacrifice. Listener, enjoy the song Cinta Adalah by The Overtunes.
Cinta tak pernah gagal jika dipelihara. Cinta bisa sempurna
bila kau mau berkorban. Cinta itu anugerah, jangan kau sia-sia. Cinta itu mengerti, mengerti arti mengalah. Cinta bisa membuatmu menangis, bisa membuatmu tertawa, juga membuatmu belajar dewasa. Karena cinta surga dunia yang nyata, anugerah luar biasa. Hargai cinta dengan perbuatanmu, dengan perbuatanmu. Cinta itu anugerah, jangan kau sia-sia. Cinta itu mengerti, mengerti arti mengalah. Cinta bisa membuatmu menangis, bisa membuatmu tertawa, juga membuatmu belajar dewasa. Karena cinta surga dunia yang datang, juga luar biasa. Hargai cinta dengan perbuatanmu, dengan perbuatanmu. Tertawa juga membuatmu belajar dewasa. Karena cinta juga dunia yang nyata,
yang nyata,
juga luar biasa.
Just listen to the song Cinta Adalah by The Overtunes. The Overtunes is a band group which was formed in 2013. The personnel are three brothers. They are Mada Emmanuel Brahmantio, Ruben Nathaniel Brahmantio, and Mika Angelo Brahmantio. The Overtunes was firstly famous when Mika Angelo joined a singing talent competition show on one of national private television stations in 2013. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Dunia Bersamamu by The Overtunes. Happy listening.
Diriku ingin ku tahu arti hidupku, hanya dirimu yang melengkapi. Kapiku, kaulah nafasku. Dirimu, kaulah yang terindah di hidupku. Air matamu lemahkan hatiku yang ada untukmu. Inilah duniaku untuk bersamamu. Dan walau waktu berjalan, aku kan terus bertahan. Pelukku yang akan selalu menghangatkanmu.
dan takkan ada yang bisa melepasmu dariku. Pelukku yang akan selalu menjagamu. Padaku, ingin ku berada di sampingmu sepanjang hidupku. Rasa ini hanya ada saat bersamamu. Bahagiaku dengar canda tawamu, terangi hatiku. Inilah duniaku untuk bersamamu. Walau waktu berjalan, ku kan terus bertahan. Pelukku yang akan selalu menghangatkanmu, dan takkan ada yang bisa melepasmu dariku. Pelukku yang akan selalu menjagamu. Oh, selalu menghangatkanmu, dan takkan ada yang bisa melepasmu dariku. Pelukku yang akan selalu menjagamu. Oh,
accompanied by acoustic guitar and drum, the lyric of Dunia Bersamamu tells the expression of someone who is falling in love for her or him. The beloved one is the most beautiful one and can bring happiness. Therefore, he or she promises to keep standing and will not ever let the beloved one go. Since they were a child, the three brothers of the Overtunes had been introduced to a musical instrument by their parents. No wonder if they are skilled in music and even assume that music is their goal. Their love toward music also makes them to carry the Overtunes as their group's name. According to them, the name of the Overtunes is very related to music, but it is not techy. Well, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bukan Sekedar Kata and Time Will Tell by the Overtunes. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Katakanlah, takkan pernah ku tinggalkan kau sendiri. Tersenyumlah, agar ku tahu kau bahagia bersamaku. Bernyanyilah, ku ingin dengar suara indahmu itu. Dengar aku, mengertilah aku bahagia bersamamu. Tak mudah jujur tuk ungkapkan agar kau mengerti yang ku rasakan. Tak sulit seharusnya aku tunjukkan. That when I say I love you, I really do. You know I really, really do.
nyanyilah, ku ingin dengar suara indahmu itu. Jangan kau ragu, mengertilah ku bahagia bersamamu. Tak mudah jujur untuk ungkapkan, agar kau mengerti yang ku rasakan. Tak sulit seharusnya aku tunjukkan that I really do. Kata-kata, ku hanya harap kau juga merasa, oh rasa cinta yang sama. You know I really, really do. Sekadar kata-kata, ku hanya harap kau juga merasa, oh rasa cinta yang sama. 'Cause I really do.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.